Good morning. This is November of 2010. Almost 60 years since the Infinite Way was revealed to the world. I hope you are practicing its principles, or rather, resting in the principles and realizing the inner presence of the living God. Many of us who are now online are inundated with pieces of scripture, pieces of the Infinite Way writings, whole talks transcribed. Had one in my mailbox, my email box last night, 1954, Joel Goldsmith. I believe we read so much of the letter that it becomes sort of tell me something new. Seen that, read that, so what? We just finished transcribing 472 pages of talks by Herb Fitch, his interpretation of Beyond Words and Thoughts coupled with the Book of John. And I think we read these or hear them so often that it's just another dose of, so what? Perhaps we are embroiled in difficulties in our human lives, physical, mental, emotional, financial, relationship. And reading these many words and even hearing these many words sometimes gives us the feeling, I've had enough. I just don't want to hear anymore. I'm tired of it. I can sure understand that. That means you are overdosed on the letter. On the other hand, had you come up higher and experienced the Spirit, well, that's quite different. I believe there's a feeling that you just want to bask in that spiritual experience forever. You can't get enough. And I haven't made any talks recently, although I've continued to have inner realizations in my meditations, and I've continued to practice the principles that have been revealed within. I just haven't felt like talking. Until this morning, something came out of me in response to a statement. And what I heard and what I typed was, because there is no God in the human scene, does not mean there is no God. We have heard over the years, dozens of times, Mr. Goldsmith saying, I had a hard time convincing the students that this was not a matter of bringing God down into our human affairs to fix them or change them or improve them, but rather arising above them into God. And we hear that to the point where it becomes a cliche. Yeah, there is no God in the human scene, so what? It bounces right off. Instead of penetrating to the core of our being and causing us to awaken, which is what it is and was intended to do. Let's start at the very beginning. In 1947, there was a beautiful little black book which was published by Willing Publishing Company in San Gabriel, California. I used to live in San Gabriel, California. By a Mr. Joel S. Goldsmith, who had enough material that people encouraged him to write a book. He didn't think very many people would be interested, and so I believe he only ran about 1,200 copies, put them in boxes and put them in his garage. Mr. Goldsmith was mistaken. The message swept the world. Many, many millions have read this little book. But I believe only a handful have grasped what was revealed in 1947. And so the very first chapter, page 21, Putting on Immortality, tells us this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh, but it still is the Word. By being made flesh, it does not change its nature, character, or substance. Cause becomes visible as effect, but the essence or substance is still the Word, Spirit, or Mind, capital M, Mind, which is consciousness. In this way do we understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world, but rather what appears as our material world is the Word made flesh, or Spirit made visible, or consciousness expressed. All the error that has existed down through the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds. One, the heavenly kingdom or spiritual life, and the other, a material world or mortal existence, each separate from the other. And on the next page he says, in spite of this sense of two worlds, we have always attempted to bring harmony into the discords of human existence through an attempt by prayer to contact this other world, the spiritual realm, and bring Spirit or God to act upon the material world. Let us begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous world. It's not a material world. But rather, the universe in which we live is the realm of reality, about which man entertains a false concept. Our work, then, of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not getting rid of or changing a material universe. No, our work is correcting the finite concept of existence. Now, we read and have read and have heard over and over and over that we live in a material sense of universe, a material sense of self, a material sense of supply, a material sense of companionship, a material sense of body. And our work is rising into a spiritual sense of universe, a spiritual sense of body, of companionship, a spiritual sense of supply. And the human mind gets in there and automatically interprets that back into material sense. Well, I'm going to contact God, and God is going to give me infinite supply of people, places, and things. God is going to give me beautiful physical health. God is going to give me companionships that I love and whom love me. Because the mind itself is a material sense of existence, of universe, of self, it takes these statements of truth, even scripture, and reinterprets it back into a material sense of existence. And so he says plainly in the very first few paragraphs of his new revelation called The Infinite Way that our work is not contacting God to effect a healing. That's in the very first few paragraphs. We are not going to God for a healing. Our work is rising out of a material sense of universe, existence, body, supply. Our work is rising into a spiritual sense of existence, an invisible, incorporeal sense of universe, an incorporeal sense of supply, an incorporeal sense of companion, an incorporeal sense of body. Our work is putting off mortality, not improving it, and, as his chapter is titled, putting on immortality, or a spiritual sense of existence. And so our work is an internal work, somehow putting off the material sense mind, dropping it, and coming into a spiritual sense, a spiritual faculty, dropping these false concepts and putting on spiritual discernment. That is our work. And yet, in the past years that I have been involved in this work, and I have had fellowship with you, I have seen we're not getting this point. We are still operating from a material sense of existence and hoping that God will somehow improve it. Yet, Joel tells us right from the very beginning, there is no erroneous world. There is a spiritual existence misinterpreted into concepts. Concepts making up a material sense. And so our work is getting out of those concepts and dwelling in spiritual discernment, spiritual faculties, spiritual sense, so that we can see the spiritual universe in which we are already living. We read from Paul In him we live and move and have our being. And we say, isn't that beautiful? Quite a concept. But it's not a concept. It is the fact of existence. You are standing in the presence of the living God. You are the concept. And so if you are living in a material sense of existence, you are living in a concept. You are not awake and aware to the spiritual presence in which you stand, in which you have your being. So our work is awakening to that which already is. And that's the point we're missing. Many of us are missing. Still going to God, an invisible, unknown God, hoping that by feeling the presence of that invisible, unknown God, our individual lives will improve. Now, you know that's true. I get emails day after day asking for help to do this. Yet the very first few paragraphs tell us that there is no such universe as we're trying to improve. All the error that has existed down the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds. Now that's what he says right there. But we must begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one, but the universe in which we live is reality, about which you are entertaining a false concept. And so we must know, yes, of course all these scriptures and statements of truth become cliches and dried up, worn out leaves, like the leaves that are falling off the trees around here, blowing in the wind. They're useless. They make you angry. After a while, you've had enough. But just because God is not in your material sense of existence, God is not in your human life, does not mean there is no God. What it means, my dear friend, is you haven't awakened to it. You haven't found the way to step out of material sense. And so you're angry, frustrated, and I don't blame you. Now, let's understand something. You are not personally to blame for remaining in material sense. It's not your fault. You're not a failure. Well, you're not to blame, which is why I say I don't blame you. What are there now? 4 billion people on this planet? I'm only 56 years old, but I've met several hundred thousand in my lifetime, if not more. And of those several hundred thousand, I have met a handful that are awakening, or who are awakening from material sense, out of a material sense of existence. That's very few. We have been in existence, humanity has been in existence, how long now? Tens of thousands of years? and very few have awakened. That which we call Maya, or illusion, or a material sense of universe, is hypnotizing billions of people, or billions of souls, Now, that's not your fault. I have my own idea about it. I feel this way. I feel that in the beginning, when we were created as individual being, we decided we wanted an individual life. I want my own life. And God, being all loving, said, okay. Now the only way we could have an individual life, separate from God, was to agree to come under an illusion. That's the only way you can have a separate life, because we just stated that in reality, you are standing in the middle of the presence. But we wanted our own individual life, separate and apart. I want my life. And the only way we could have that is to accept a belief, a sense of separation. And so if you understand that, then you can't really blame anyone. Because all of us first accepted a sense of separation in order that we could awaken to oneness. You can't awaken to something if you've never known something else. And so I think we accepted that willingly. But now it's been thousands of years. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty tired of the game. I want to awaken. And I'm ready. And some of you are too. And so let us forget about blaming anyone or anything. That's just a diversion. A side path. We don't care. But this we must understand. We are living out a parenthesis, a human experience. We are living in a material sense of self, a material sense of universe, a material sense of friends, companions, supply, body. And we have been touched by our own inner self. We have heard the call. It's time for you to awaken. And so now we must ask, how? How? What must I do to have this inner awakening? What must I do to step out of a material sense mind into a spiritual discerning consciousness? What must I do to step out of a material sense of universe so that I might behold the spiritual universe made in the beginning, before time was? And we are pointed back to the spiritual principles which Mr. Goldsmith was so generous to write down for us. And he says, let us begin with the understanding our world is not an erroneous one. Now that means that every time you think, well, if I can make contact with God, this erroneous picture will be made harmonious. That's the place where you need to say, no, that's a lie. I am not standing in a material universe. I'm standing in a spiritual universe. Now let me turn away from that material sense that would try to improve itself. Let me go within. Now, Father, reveal your universe. And so he says, our work, bringing health and harmony into our experience, is not getting rid of or changing a material universe. Our work is in correcting the finite concept of our existence. Now, that's the same thing. Our work is coming out of the material sense mind and its pictures and awakening to that which is. You remember elsewhere in the wisdoms in this book, he says, is alone overcomes the world. Is. But it must be an experience of is. It must be an awareness of is. It must be a spiritual discernment of is. Now, is doesn't change your material world, because there is none. He says it right here in the first few paragraphs. Is doesn't change your material world. We understand there is not a spiritual universe and a material world. Is the spiritual universe. And you're stepping out of material sense and experiencing the living spiritual universe is what is required. That is what he means by correcting the finite concept of our existence. Eventually we are led to the great revelation, he says, that mortals only put on immortality as mortality disappears. They do not add immortal spiritual harmony to human conditions. God does not create, nor does he control a material sense of existence. That's what is meant by my kingdom is not of this world. You see then that your journey is not really a journey. You're not going any place. You're standing in the midst of spiritual creation, a spiritual universe. You are seeing through a material sense of existence. And so you look right at spirit and call it whatever you've named it this week. In harmony, lack, limitation. This path is not about contacting God to fix that and make it harmonious and make its abundance and make it unlimited experience. This path is to awaken you out of your mistaken material sense so that you can behold the reality in which you are living. And so it all takes place within you. There is never, ever a time when God will do something out here that God is not already doing. The is already is. But you must be aware of it. If you have no awareness of it, no feeling of it, no sensing, no spiritual discernment of it, for you it does not exist. And so the more spiritual words you hear, the more frustrated you become. And it's just as true for me. Until eventually I cry out, oh, I'm sick of this. I've even thrown the books across the room. Enough. I'm tired of it. What good is it? And when I'm standing there, that's when I feel there is no God. But that's not the truth. The truth is, just because there is no God in my material sense of universe, called the human scene, doesn't mean there is no God. I have got to find a way to leave the human scene, the material sense of existence. And all this is done within. You don't go anywhere. You rise up out of material sense into spiritual discernment, into spiritual consciousness. How do I rise out of material sense? I've been in it for centuries, thousands of years. That's what the infinite way is here to show you. We know, oh how we know, that the letter kills. That means we feel completely frustrated and totally fed up. I don't even want to hear another spiritual word. Just let me go see a action-packed movie and eat popcorn. I'm sick of the other. That means you're fed up and dying from eating the word. I mean, eating the letter. You're fed up with the letter. Words, not the word. That's really okay to feel that way. It's just more evidence that yourself is calling you to awaken. It's calling you to rise up into it. That's why you're feeling frustrated. Because yourself is telling you, come on, come on, get out of the letter. It's not going to help you anymore. Get out of that material sense of existence. What we do is we practice a few principles, and life gets pretty comfortable. I'm making my $30,000-$40,000 a year, and my bills are paid, and I'm not in the lap of luxury, but I'm middle class. I feel pretty comfortable, and my bills are paid, and my car payment's paid, my mortgage. I have insurance. My health is pretty good, and I have a fairly decent marriage. Maybe not perfect, but pretty comfortable. And that's where we find ourselves. And then, wham, something bad happens. Something really bad. Maybe we get a fatal disease. The doctors say there's no hope. Maybe the wife or husband says they'd like to have a trial separation. Maybe one of the children gets hurt. We can't understand it. Maybe we are approached by our supervisor on the job that says, we're downsizing, and I'm sorry, but your position has been cut. And just like that, we go from spiritual comfort, loving all these books and tapes, to a major struggle, a major life-changing event. Why? Why does this happen? I've been studying so hard. I've been meditating. Yes, you have. The only problem is you've been standing and staying in a material sense of existence. You listen to a talk every Sunday and read a few chapters in the morning and feel that life's pretty good. It's pretty comfortable. But now the rug is pulled out from under you. Your inner self is saying, get moving, get going, you haven't attained. You're in the letter. Yes, you can quote these things better than I can. But you have no spiritual sense of universe. You're still standing in a material sense. And so the spirit won't let you rest, at least not very long. And it says, get moving. There's more. And I want you to awaken. And then when we get past the fear and the perhaps terror, we know within ourselves this is our path. And we'd better find the deeper path rather than the surface of the letter. So we turn back, we ask questions, we listen, perhaps as we've never listened before. And we are told there is a way to attain spiritual consciousness, which means the inner awareness, the actual feel of the spiritual universe in which you stand. And we don't like the way once we find it, even when we consciously understand what we must do, we don't like it. That material sense mind has been in charge for thousands of years. And it doesn't quite like the idea that you're going to leave it now. However, we listen to the Kailua study series, and we come across that talk 23, Experience of the Christ. And we start to feel an inner stirring. Something within ourselves says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And we start practicing an inner prayer that takes place without words, without thoughts, without the letter. We stop. No affirmations, no denials. Something tells us, our inner self says, whispers to us, this is the way. You cannot go any farther with that sense mind, with its words and its thoughts and its affirmations and its denials and its letter. You cannot come any further unless you set that aside. And now we are ready for the real spiritual life. We are ready to find out what Joel meant when he said we have to go within and set aside those concepts in order to awaken to reality. We're ready. Now, the battle really begins. Because every time we sit down to meditate, here comes the letter marching in that material mind. Well now, let's see, what do I know about supply? Supply is omnipresent, only God is here, this is an image and thought, and blah blah blah. It's been habitual. And now we have to unlearn everything we've learned, even if we've been in the infinite way 20 years or more. Why, that wasn't the infinite way at all. That was a limited way. That was a material sense of the infinite way. Isn't that something? We thought we were in the infinite way, and we were still standing in a material sense of the infinite way. Now we are being called to the real infinite way. And we begin to hear things with an inner ear that perhaps we passed over quite lightly before. Like this chapter in Consciousness Unfolding, chapter 2, called Peace. My peace, the peace of Christ. More healings have been brought about through absolute silence than through all the arguments metaphysicians have thought up in the whole history of the world. When you are called upon for help, sit down and get at peace. Think no thoughts. Just sit and wait. Wait. Be patient and wait for the peace of the Christ to descend upon you. In that moment of peace, without a word, you will witness healing. And we look and we ponder that, and there's a feeling that, yes, it's here, it's right here. That which I have sought is right here. And it has something to do with waiting. It has something to do with absolute silence in which I take no thought, not one. I remember no words, no letter. I cease from material sense completely. I stand stock still. I stop. And something, some invisible presence, is going to descend. And in that standing still, I will witness its movement. Now we have found the real infinite way. And it is infinite because this something that descends or moves through your being, this something is infinite. And this something will lift you into an awareness of it. You will feel it. You will witness it. You will be aware. It will move through your consciousness, lifting you out of material sense. It will lift you out of a material sense of universe and give you the awareness of a spiritual universe as an experience, a real experience in your consciousness. It will lift you out of a material sense of supply and reveal to you and lift you into the experience of infinite invisible spiritual substance. Not as a string of words, as an actual awareness of feeling. It will lift you even out of a material sense of body and into a spiritual experience of an everywhere self. Consciously, you will feel omnipresent. Not omnipresence. You won't feel omnipresence touching you. You will feel omnipresent. From this point forward, if you would travel the real infinite way, you cannot take yourself any farther. From this point forward, only Christ can lift you out of the material sense of existence in which you are now standing. Only the I, the infinite I, can lift you into the experience of itself and give you the spiritual sense of universe. In the chapter in this book called New Horizon, he hints at that when he says, I, the infinite I, am breaking the sense of limitation, or I, the infinite I, am breaking up your material sense of existence as an evidence of my presence, of my influence in your experience. I, the I of you, am in the midst of you, revealing the harmony and infinity of spiritual existence. I, the I of you, never a personal sense of I, no, not a material sense of I, never a person, but the infinite I am ever with you. Look up. You see? And so it's natural, automatic, that you become frustrated with all these words, all these statements, all these scriptures that do not work. Knowing all these things, reading all these things, hearing all these things while your life falls apart. And that is because your spiritual infinite I, your spiritual self, is saying, let me lift you up out of that material sense of existence. No longer try to fix that. Let me lift you up into the spiritual sense of existence that you might behold the glory that you already have, that you might behold the infinite, invisible, spiritual self that you are, that you might behold you are standing in the finished kingdom. When you have that inner spiritual sense of existence, then it's automatic. You rest. You rest. You can't help it. It happens to you. Yes, at first in your meditations, when you've just discovered that there is a brand new infinite way, there's a new level, it can be frustrating when you sit down and the old level doesn't want to give up. And all these words and thoughts start streaming in. And you have to practice. No, no, that was then. This is now. I am going to walk the real infinite way. And the way to walk that is you don't walk that. You stop. You wait for your own inner I to take over. Often I have that kind of a meditation. I sit down, I close my eyes. The mind wants to start. Material sense wants to get going. And I remind it, stop. Just stop. No words. No thoughts. Father, reveal the self. And I wait. Until there is an inner movement, I feel the descent of spiritual self into my awareness, into my consciousness. And when that happens, there's such a release. Oh, yes. Oh, thank you, Father. There's nothing left but rest. Rest. It's not that you rest and then God comes to you. It's that God comes to you and you rest. You rest. Maybe it doesn't happen that time, and I feel a little frustrated and even angry at myself. Gosh, why can't you get quiet enough? It's been 10,000 years. I don't expect to do this overnight. And so I get up, I take care of whatever responsibilities lie nearest at hand, and then I sit back down. Okay, here I am again. No words, no thoughts. Take no thought. Father, thy grace. Or another time it may be, I can't do anything. The very I this thought is emanating from is material sense of existence. So be still. Grace. Christ liveth. The infinite I. Sometimes I say no words at all. I just sit down and close my eyes. Waiting upon the Lord. More and more the meditations are that way because moving out of material sense and into spiritual sense means moving out of a personal me knowing anything and moving into the attitude of a beholder, a witness, an invisible awareness, and watching. I watch the is reveal itself right here. Do you see? This is not a bad thing that is happening. This is the self of you. The infinite I of you, the real infinite way, lifting you into itself. Don't cling. Don't cling to these outworn methods. Don't cling to the universe that we've said we want to leave behind. Don't cling to the world. To the material world, there is none. We have been told how many times now, no illusion is ever externalized. No illusion is ever externalized because we're standing in infinite spiritual substance. But we must be conscious of that infinite, invisible spiritual substance, or for us it doesn't exist, and we live and die in a material sense. And so, do we believe that? That no illusion is ever externalized? This is what came to me the other day. Yes. No illusion is ever externalized. Now listen. No death is ever externalized. I know some of you just heard that. No death is ever externalized. Ever. No death is ever externalized. And so step out of the material sense of existence, which you have been entertaining inside of you. Stand in the awareness of infinite, invisible, spiritual self, spiritual universe, spiritual being. And you have just stepped out of death. It cannot exist except as a concept, a part of the material sense of existence. No illusion is ever externalized. No death is ever externalized. Step out of, or rather, stop. Stop. No material sense of existence in your meditation. No words, no thoughts. Stand stock still. Let the eye of you, the invisible presence of the living spirit, lift you out of a material sense of existence and show you, give you, the experience of infinite Christ. This is how you overcome death. To do this is to step into life eternal. You cannot do it for yourself. The material sense of self cannot do it for you. The letter cannot do it for you. Words, thoughts cannot do it for you. It must be a real, infinite presence, lifting you into awareness of itself. It must be the real experience of the Christ. It must be the real, infinite way. And so, yes, I know it's frustrating. Yes, I know it, well, it makes us all angry. Why is it not working? Yet, your infinite, invisible, incorporeal self loves so deeply that it calls you into itself that you might overcome death for all time, for eternity. No illusion is ever externalized. No death is ever externalized. No birth is ever externalized. You were never born. You put on a material sense of existence. But you can take it off just as well and awaken once more to your spiritual sense of existence. This is how you overcome and put off mortality and put on immortality. And we were given all this in the very first few paragraphs of The Infinite Way, penned by Joel Goldsmith in 1947. All the time, the real infinite way was awaiting you to find it. Have you found it now? Are you ready to follow? Are you ready to awaken If so, then join us in this fellowship of the Spirit. And on this infinite, eternal road of existence, I am sure we will all meet. Until then, I send you my love. I send you my courage. I send you my infinite spiritual sense of self, which I know to be yourself. Thank you.